Reading from Paul's letter to churches of Galatia, chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. This particular passage and related passages to it we're covering under our larger series of the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. The third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, has works to do and is doing works within us. He is the one who is the efficacious power of the Godhead, going forth with breath and wind and might and accomplishing those things that God sends him, God the Father and the Son have sent him to accomplish. And so many of those things are located in ourselves. The work of God in us is accomplished by the Spirit. The work of God in the councils of eternity is the Godhead planning so great salvation for us, to rescue us from our sin and from the penalty of it and from ourselves and from our circumstances, and one day rescuing us entirely from this fallen world and taking us to a place of bliss and with Him forever. The Son of God comes to accomplish these things outside of ourselves, objective to us, in history 2,000 years ago, in a perfect life and a sacrificial atoning death. He accomplishes. Last week we spoke of the freedom from the law, the penalty of the law. The law prescribes a penalty for lawbreakers, and we saw that Christ has borne that penalty. And the emphasis of our entire message was kind of a summation of what Paul's been talking about in Galatians up to this moment, and that is we are free. We're no longer in the thraldom and the enslavement of sin as to its penalty. The law has no more claim upon us. There is no more jeopardy. There is no more indictment. That has all been settled in a judicial and righteous and objective way by Christ in His death upon the cross. And in checking, after I preached last Sunday, I had a chat with Mark, and I said, by the way, what's your outline on this series? And he says, well, it's first, he's going to talk about a fierce battle that is raging. We're going to talk about that this morning. And he said, we're going to talk about the freedom. We talked about that last week. And then we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll be talking about that between now and the Easter season as it comes upon us. But this morning, I want to talk about the fierce battle. The fierce battle. Even though we have been freed from the penalty of the law, we still remain in our humanity, in our fallen flesh. The word flesh, sarx in the Greek, often in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul, takes on kind of a connotation of the theater of evil, the place where we sin. Our flesh is the arena, the theater of our sinful acts and our, what's the scriptures called here, the works of the flesh. And while the good news is proclaimed that Jesus Christ has freed us from the penalty of the law, the truth and the whole counsel of God goes on to instruct us that we are not yet free from the flesh. There's a battle that is raging. The way the text says it is incredibly stark. It says, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Paul, famously, I know most of you are very familiar with this passage, talks about this in the 7th chapter of Romans. Let me highlight a few of what things that Paul says there. So the law is holy, the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. I see my members waging war, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The joyful tones and the sweet whisperings of the gospel are still ringing in our ears when we repent of our sins and come to Christ and find that forgiveness, that pardon, that freedom that is there by faith in Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, provided by God Himself in His grace alone. What a joy. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. We hear that gospel. But at the same time we hear that gospel, that we are now sanctified, set apart to God. We are made saints. We are always saints. We will always be saints. We are secure in Him, His finished work. The same time we hear that we're always saints, we hear and we understand, and rising up within the very viscera of our souls is this war, this conflict, this vile conflict within our souls that says, but we're still sinners. We're still in this body of flesh, this arena of rebellion and corruption and sin and fallenness and weakness and even depravity. The Lord has saved us from the penalty of our sin, but He has not yet saved us from the presence of our sin. It is ever with us, and now it's even worse because Now that we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, the pristine, holy God Himself dwelling within us in a unique and an incredible, mysterious relationship between the Spirit of God and our spirit. And He bears witness that we're the children of God and we know that we're saved. But yet, the conflict is even worse because the brightness of the glory of the holiness of the Spirit of God shows up that awful sin that's within our life. And there it is. And the text we have before us kind of tracks it a little bit. And it's interesting to me that Paul just kind of runs it in the ground. He mentions 15 sinful practices. And I see myself in quite a few of them. They're probably all there. I just don't recognize them for what they are. Look at the list. Beginning there in verse 19. He calls them the works of the flesh. And they're manifest. They're evident. They're obvious. This doesn't take a lot of explication and maybe just a little bit of translation and maybe a reminder of what these things are in our lives. But this is what we war against. I would like to you to remember, if you don't remember anything else I say this morning, the difference between a prison house and a battlefield. We were once shut up in the prison house of sin. Now we have been liberated by Christ's death upon the cross. But we were not liberated to eternal bliss just yet. We were liberated to go out onto a battlefield. You see the difference? We're no longer in the prison house. We're no longer shut up to sin. We're no longer under that penalty. We're no longer on death row. But we're on a battlefield. We've been placed in a place where there is now war and conflict within our members and within our souls. The righteousness that we know God demands of us in His holy law. The practices that we should be practicing each day are in bitter conflict with these practices here. Let me just mention some of them as we go through that list. The first one is mentioned as sexual immorality. It's the word pornia in the Greek, and we get our word pornography. And that is a struggle for many, many of us. Through the years, throughout life, we struggle with those images of fornication. That's literally what the word means. But I'd like to remind you that the word graphics in pornography is really the graphics of fornication. That's sexual immorality. It's not just the pictures. It's the stories that go along with the pictures. Many a man has a struggle with the images, the pictures. But how many women struggle with the stories that go along with the pictures, the novels, the soap operas, the things that are the stories, the graphe, the writings of fornication and adultery and sexual immorality. Don't look at me like you don't struggle with that. I know you do. I know you have. I do. I have. And I've lost some battles, but I'll tell you there's victory in walking by the Spirit over these things. Let's look at another one. The next one is impurities. It literally means, it's the word for cleanse, katharizo, and it's the word ah, which means the negation of cleansing, which is filthiness. Impurity, it's translated in our text. There is something filthy about the flesh. You can't hardly watch TV or a movie anymore without hearing just a whole litany of filthy language. Seems like everything draws down either profanity or vulgarity or some combination thereof. We have little euphemistic ways of speaking of the words, the F word, the S word, and so forth, the B word. This is an impurity that washes over our souls and literally causes us, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we're going to live a righteous life, if we're going to please God, if we're going to have the kind of character God wants us to have, we've got to just stake out some ground and fight a war against this kind of filth in our lives, in the lives of our children. The coarseness that has gotten into our conversation just in the last generation is unbelievable, that which is accepted. The other word there, sensuality, I'll just skip. Let me just hit just a few of these. I'm almost already out of time. Idolatry comes from two words which simply means the worship. It's the word latria, where we get our word liturgy. It's the liturgy of idols. It is the devotion to, it's giving the time to, and the sacrificial obeyance to things other than God, whatever they may be. That is a war in our life we have to fight. The next word is translated sorcery. It's the word pharmakia, pharmacy. Two things in this text tell us that the Lord doesn't want a couple of things that come to us in our natural state. The Lord gives us a warning, and that's what this says. I warned you about these things, Paul said. I warned you before, and I warn you again, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How can a warning be more stark than that? And pharmacy is these things that are mood altering. All through the Scriptures, the Lord wants to enter into our moods. When we are depressed and when we are discouraged and brought low, it is He that wants to lift us up. When there's a dark night of the soul, it's the light of the glorious Gospel in the face of Jesus Christ that is to light us up, not some pill. The Lord wants to enter into our human experiences and be the one that rescues us and saves us from it. He doesn't want our moods altered by anyone but Him. So we need to watch and be careful as to the use of these things. One of the ways God saves souls is He brings us to a place that we're just utterly abject depression, fed up with what we're doing, fed up with the way we're living, fed up with our life, fed up with ourselves, can't see any way out, don't know what to do. We're low, we're depressed. That's when the Lord shows up and comes to us in Himself, in His power. He wants to be the joy of our life. It's not meddling, that's just the text. Enmity, strife. The word strife there is where we get our word ire, anger. How many of us struggle with issues of anger? Frustration, just things don't go right. Things are always sort of ticking us off. We're always on kind of an edge. There's a battle to be waged there. We don't all have all of these wars at the same time, at the same extent, thank the Lord. But they come up in our lives, and different ones of us fight with different things. But that's your battle. That's where you have to fight. That's the battle, that's the enemy that's in front of you at that time. In the ancient warfare, they didn't have carpet bombing and nuclear warheads and all the rest. They had to fight the enemy that was in front of them at the time. And that's where we are. The writer of the Hebrews calls it a besetting sin, a sin that just keeps on tripping us up. And we have to lay aside the impediments and all of the things that are in our way and focus in on the battle with that issue in our lives. The word anger, fits of anger. Literally, it means the word heat. It is that anger that seethes, that simmers. We often cover it up with pleasantries, but deep down, it's long-lasting. It may be directed against a person. Skipping on over, there's quite a few things. I wish I had time. I don't. Verse 21, drunkenness. It's the word meth-I. If the pharmacy speaks about mood altering. This word, methai, speaks of mind altering. Mind altering substances. Translated here, drunkenness. Do we fight a battle of addictions? Do we seek to find the pleasure that comes from that kind of experience? And he says things like these. 15 things mentioned. 15 things. And it's not a complete list. He said it's things like this. What's your battle? What's your enemy? What's in front of you right now? Which one of these or things like these are you having to struggle with? Here's the great comfort. Let me just go straight to the prophecy of Ezekiel. Here's the promise that we have. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Walk by the Spirit. We didn't have to wait for Paul to tell us. Ezekiel told us. This is how the Lord works. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I will deliver you from all uncleanness. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself for your iniquities and your abominations. On that day, I will cleanse you from all your iniquities. Thank the Lord right now for the forgiveness of sins. You're out of the prison house of sin. And get on the battlefield and fight it with everything you have. And here's what you have. You have the Spirit within you. Walk. Keep in step. Walk by the Spirit of God. Call upon Him. Know He's there. Listen to His voice. Read His Word. Know that in this battle, there is an animating force that is victorious in all battles. And that is the third person of the triune God, the Spirit of the living God. Fight those battles. Walk by the Spirit.